it's Lent, but it gets worse. It's DSA Sunday. I have to talk about money and parish money. So the same thing happened last year. This is about the time of the year where we get a pretty decent projection of how we're going to land in July financially. So it just works out that way. And it might as well. If it's going to be Lent, it might as well really, really be Lent. So I'll be talking about money. And then I am going to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, weave that into what the gospel said and what the reading said this week. And for my second trick, and I promise you, it's not cold in here because I was trying to be manipulative and, you know, it's, if you want heat, you got to tithe more. No, that's not what happened. So first, the DSA, the Diocesan Services Appeal. This is an annual appeal that pays for the ministries in the offices in Lansing. A lot of the things that come out of the Diocese of Lansing, you do see. Some of them you don't see. I see a lot of them, and they are a huge, huge blessing to our parish. The Men's Conference and the Women's Conference are two things that are, you know, that comes out of, you know, because we're paying these people's salaries. There's some ministries that they do. There's also Catholic Charities, and there's campus ministries, and there's a lot of things that they do. If you want a full list, that's going to be available, especially next week, next weekend. And if you have any questions in particular, let me know if you have questions beyond the obvious or beyond what's the information given. So please make a pledge. Our parish goal, I believe, is $57,000 for that. And additionally, so I want to talk about parish finances too, because again, we have a decent projection of where we might probably land in July. We look right now like we'll be about $100,000 in the red, so which is bad. So last year we had an $88,000 shortfall, which would have been a lot bigger, but about this time last year I preached about money. I preached about tithing. Actually, really, it was about why we tithe. It wasn't really about we need more money, but like, why do we give? What's going on here? And the giving increased, but it did kind of trickle and wane a little bit over the fall. I don't know if that's the snowbirds or I don't know why, but we're a little bit behind, and we need to support the ministries that we're doing here. And I know some people feel bad talking about money. I really don't. Like, if I felt bad asking you for money, I should be fired. I believe in what we're doing here. I think that what we're doing is continuing on the mission of the church, the mission that Jesus gave us. If somehow we were doing something else with our money, then maybe we shouldn't ask for more, but what we're doing is pretty important. So, we need to increase our giving just in the offertory, and we need to continue to move toward tithing. Not that everybody is called to tithe, not that everyone is able to tithe, okay? But tithing is a biblical concept. This is kind of a refresher from last year, but tithing is when you give 10% of your GDP to the Lord. Usually half of it, this is how I was told, this is just a suggestion, half of it would go to the local parish, and then half of it would go to other charities and ministries that the church has that serve especially the poor. But I don't know, what it could be a Focus missionary that you support. I just throw that out there because I was a Focus missionary. And it could be Building Bridges of Hope in the Dominican Republic that you support, or Love Inc., or Catholic Charities. That's a concept. That's a suggestion. Tithing is also a biblical concept, to give 10% of your income to the Lord. It's not a commandment. It's not an absolutely you must do this. Scripture is very clear over and over that we should, as St. Paul says, everyone should pray and consider what to give to the Lord, and then give what he's decided, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Again, he says, it's not out of compulsion that we give, but in freedom that we give, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So that's over and over. That what we do, that what you give to the Lord, and like when you're putting money in the basket or when you're doing online donations or however you're giving, but when you're giving to the Lord, it's in freedom and it's in joy, not Catholic guilt. I would love to just, you know, push on your Catholic guilt, you know, but that's really not what the Bible says. Now, sometimes we do feel guilty a little bit if we think, oh gosh, I haven't been as generous as I should. And, you know, that's okay, maybe. But I would just say we should be prayerful about how we give and how much. And that you might not be in a position right now where you can give 10%. That might be just really, really difficult right now. But I would encourage you to work towards that if you can. If you can just give 10 more dollars a week, I don't know, maybe you can do more than that per week, but if you can increase by just $10 a week, if everybody did that, it would be a huge blessing to the parish. One of the best things that my parents ever did for my siblings and I regarding money was they had a tithe jar. And I really believe that the future of the church, it depends, well, it's obvious that the future of the church depends on us handing on the faith. One little aspect of that, but it's not a, I shouldn't say little, one aspect of that is tithing, is giving to the Lord. So they had a tithe jar and they would teach us when we did chores or if we got an allowance or if we made some money, they would teach us, all right, for every dollar, you're putting a dime in there. Okay, and at first, I remember my older brother not really liking this as much, but I was more of a compliant child, so, you know. Over time, we got excited about what we could give, and we got really excited to put more money in that jar, and actually, it made me want to make more money when I knew where the money was going to for the tithe, and I know some of you can relate to this. You want to make money because you love how you can give it to others. That was really, really good for me as growing up, and I want to encourage you that the future of the parish and the future of the church, it depends on handing on the faith in terms of how we worship God with our money, as well as everything else. And we shouldn't skip that part, because Jesus talks more about money in a direct way than he does even about prayer. I mean, that's arguable, but if you really look at it, he talks about money a lot, because as he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So it's really important. It's a way that we worship God. And, you know, the readings here, now for phase two of the homily, the readings here are about temptation. And the thread is that the evil one comes in and he tempts Adam and Eve to be self-reliant, and then he comes in and tempts Jesus to be self-reliant. The devil has a lot more success with Adam and Eve. He doesn't have any success with Jesus, but he tempts them to be self-reliant instead of receiving what the Lord wants to give them and waiting to receive from the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, as it were, I like to think of Adam and Eve, their attitude toward God was a hand open, like ready to receive from the loving Father everything that he wants to give. And perhaps you could also think of it as an open hand where he might take something as well, because everything that he would give is good. And anything that he would take, he can have, because I trust that he will provide for me and that he wants my happiness. He wants me to be joyful. The devil comes in and convinces Adam and Eve that this is not the case. They can't just hold their hand out to receive. They can't just hold their hand out to offer to the Lord. They have to go and they have to grab it. They have to reach out and just take it for themselves. If they want to be happy, that's what they got to do. So go get that. And they do. And that was the first sin. Their trust in their Creator died in their heart, the Catechism says. And the temptation for all of us in different ways, not just with money, but it's easy to see how money can tie in here. The temptation for us in many ways is to do the same. I do think that time is an easy connection here. How I spend my time. If I open my hand and let God make demands on my time, I might not have that me time that I want. I might even have to talk to, oh, that one person. Okay. All right, I need to do that. Whatever it might be that we don't want to do, we just assume the Lord's going to ask us for that, even though he might not be asking us for that. And we close our hand. And we grip whatever possession or time or money or relationship or whatever it might be. But in terms of our finances, do you really hold that with an open hand before the Lord and say, Lord, I trust that you will provide for me. I trust that you will give me wisdom to provide for my children. I trust that you desire my happiness, my flourishing. You desire what's good for me. And so I can open my hand and really pray about how much I should give. I can really honestly ask you, how much, Lord, should I give? And this is true for other financial decisions too. And this is easier for me than it is for you, right? Like, I'm single, I have no kids. It's pretty easy for me to trust the Lord with my future. I don't think any of you are going to ever let me miss a meal or dessert with a meal. Pretty much people shove food at priests all day long. So, and anything else that we need. So this is totally different for me. But the Lord, it's a challenge. It's more of a challenge for you. But the Lord wants to meet you in that challenge and help you to open your hands with the Lord, with your finances, and say, Lord, what do you want to give me? What do you want me to offer you? Thank you for all that you've given me. Really, it begins with gratitude. It begins with gratitude because when we give to the Lord, we're thanking him for what he's given to us and the ways that we've been blessed and the things that we've been able to enjoy with what he's given us. And only out of that gratitude can we really honestly give to the Lord. So again, the Lord loves the cheerful giver, and it starts with gratitude. It starts with prayer and trust. And then we see Jesus. We see the devil tempting Jesus. So the devil, first of all, quick aside from the homily, the devil throws scripture at Jesus, and Jesus quotes scripture right back to him, from which I take this simple fact. Try to know scripture if you want to win in temptation. Seek to know what the word of God says. But when Jesus is tempted, he's actually tempted in a very similar way, to provide for himself. Jesus has placed himself in a position of being totally obedient to the Father. Jesus is fully God. He can do anything and everything. And yet, as he accepts our human nature, he places himself in obedience to the Father and to the Father's will, which leads him down a path of humility. So the second temptation where the devil says, throw yourself off the temple. You're going to be caught. The angels are going to catch you. Everybody will be amazed. Erase all room for doubt. Jesus doesn't do that. The devil wants him to erase all room for doubt. Instead, Jesus, though he does many miracles, he's still vulnerable to people's doubt. He's still vulnerable to their false accusations. He's still vulnerable to their to torture and to death, to rejection. He allows himself to be vulnerable to rejection because he's being obedient to what the Father wants. And, you know, and even in the first temptation with the bread, turn these stones into bread. Jesus was actually hungry. I know a lot of people like to think, oh, he wasn't really hungry. That's not the real temptation. Yes, it was the real temptation. Provide for yourself. You might pass out and die. Get some food. A reasonable thing to say, really. It's a reasonable thing for the Son of God, if he's hungry, to turn a stone into bread if he's in the wilderness. But he doesn't do it because, again, he's submitting himself to the Father's will, allowing the Father to provide for him. And God's way, we see in Jesus that his way involves humility. And it does involve, for Jesus, as it does at times for us, involve rejection and involve the cross. But that brings new life. That brings the resurrection. And that obedience to the Lord is, that's where the joy is. So sometimes we do have to go through the passion and the cross in our own little ways, or even in our own big ways. But we never do it without trusting what the Father, where the Father's leading us, how He's providing for us, and how He's using what we do and what we offer to bring new life. So I would just ask you all to, again, to pray. Maybe you already do this very regularly. I know some of you do. You've told me a lot about how you do this, but to pray and ask the Lord with open hands, how would you like me to give? Where would you like me to give? And also to remember that this is one of the ways that we worship God, by giving our money, our finances. It's one of the ways that we worship Him. Because, again, as Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. It shows where what we really love and what we say is worth it. And remember, the word worship comes from the word worth. Worthship is kind of the root of worship. What's worth it? And the way that we spend our money is one of the ways that we show what we believe is really worth it. That's how we give our worship. It's true in our relationships. It's true in our time. And we should ask the Lord for all of these things. We should ask the Lord for wisdom, for how He would have us be generous with Him and to give of our time, of our abilities, and of our finances.